A regular man trims his chest hair. A man's man trims his chest hair with a chainsaw. A regular man teaches his kid how to ride a bicycle. A man's man teaches his kid how to do a wheelie on a dirt bike. A regular man celebrates Father's Day. A man's man celebrates Father's Day at the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, June 13 to 15 at Bristol Dragway. It's everything that makes men feel like men. Fast cars, loud noise, and enough horsepower to make your bones rattle. So don't spend Father's Day making an imprint on the couch. Get off your rear end and do something fun. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals at Bristol Dragway. Tickets start at just $20 and $79 for the whole weekend. Order before June 7th and save. Get yours today at ThunderValleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capp, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhardt stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. All you first-time listeners, you just clicked the link. Your buddy shared it or retweeted it, or you're hearing about WFO for the first time. Well, you made the right decision, because we're talking NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, and we have got a great show for you this week. You've probably heard about it, the record-setting performance by 82-year-old Big Daddy Don Garlitz in an electric dragster. You've seen the stories, you've seen the numbers, you've read the stories reported, but have you heard from Big Daddy? You will hear Don Garlitz tell you all about it on this show, WFO Radio, just minutes from now. The full experience, Garlitz, is on WFO Radio just minutes from now. Also on the show, we're going to check in with one of our pro stock motorcycle friends, Hector Arana Jr., going to make his first WFO Radio appearance of 2014 as he gets ready for the ATL next weekend. Not this coming weekend, but next weekend. We will be in Atlanta. I will be there. Will you be there? Hopefully you'll come on out to the track and have a good time with us. The Pro Stock Motorcycles will be in action. And since we are trying so hard to cover all the winners here on WFO Radio in 2014, we're going to go back to Houston and speak with Mike Janis, the Pro Modified winner. We're going to hear about Mike's day and talk about the Pro Modified class, and he's getting ready for Atlanta as well. So get in, sit down, hold on, get ready. We've got a monster WFO Radio show for you. If you've got the WFO Radio app, even better. If you don't, download it. Do it now, because we start them all off the same way with this man, the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhardt. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be back, as always. Coming to you live from Lucas Oil Studios in Corona, California.
All right. More drag boat action.
You betcha.
I can hear Alan Reinhardt just about any time of the day, and I am learning so much about all the different classes of drag boat racing when I flip on the MAV TV.
You know, MAV TV, it's not to make this sound like a plug, but, you know, with some of the motorsports stations going away and going a little bit more mainstream, MAV TV is where it's at. They got a lot of just fascinating program on there. If you're a gearhead and just like mechanical things, if you need to get after your cable operator or your satellite service and get MAV TV, get on board.
We can
this
plug
has been an unpaid endorsement.
Yes, it is unpaid, but we can endorse all just the same, because Forrest has put so much money through the sport of drag racing and motorsports in general, number one. Number two, I like to see gears. I want to see all the shows. I want to learn how to put a small block into a street rod. And where else can I do that except for MAV-TV now?
They've just got a great line of programming. And, you know, one of the things that's been they've been making a lot of noise with as of late and getting a lot of good press about is the new Dave Despain show. You know, once Wind Tunnel went away, and everybody kind of wondered what was going to happen to a guy that's got so much motorsports knowledge from, I mean, everything from, you talk about motorcycles to Formula One to NASCAR to Top Fuel, and Dave Despain has now found a new home, the Dave Despain show on MAV-TV, and his new, he's been doing a series of in-depth interviews with some of the real stars of the sport, you know, instead of just, hey, 5 minutes, a couple of questions, thanks for stopping by and you're out of here, but he sits down and really gets into the background and some of the inside stories and rave reviews. If you haven't seen any of that yet, you need to check it out.
I really enjoy Dave's work as well. How could we not, being in the field, because he has been an icon in motorsports journalism for a long, long time. Something we are aspiring to be here on WFO Radio at some point. We certainly have our core of listeners that tune in for that kind of stuff here, especially the Garlitz interview today after setting the record in the electric dragster. But I got to tell you, Alan, and Garlitz will say it in a few minutes from now, there's a lot more in that thing.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing what he has to say about that and seeing where the ultimate performance potential is. I'd love to see it run. You know, the one thing that I just can't quite wrap my mind around is a car that would go that fast and not make noise. And, you know, I don't know what the experience would be like until you're actually there seeing it. But, you know, as I wrote in my column a year ago after going down and visiting Big Daddy's place, it's just amazing that the guy's 80 years old and still, you know, just as active and as energetic and enthusiastic and, you know, still has near total recall of the early days of drag racing and the things that he's been through. He is an amazing man. And the fact that he's 82 years old and still would even have the desire to do this, and, you know, I'll let him tell the story, but obviously he's, you know, very heavily involved with the project and very enthusiastic about it, and I think it's just cool.
It is a rapid-fire conversation that every drag racing fan is going to want to hear, if for nothing else than to hear how invigorated Big Daddy Don Garlitz is about a drag racing-related project. He is very pumped up about it.
You know, that's one thing that he has always been, is cutting edge. You know, in the early days of fuel racing, he was doing a lot of stuff before other guys were. He had a lot of secrets that he kept away from his competitors. Obviously, everybody knows about the first rear engine car that actually made its mark on the sport. There were a couple other guys that tried it before but couldn't make it work. And he's just a guy that when he gets involved with the project, he is going all in and getting 100% behind it. And I just think it's fascinating. 82 years old and still setting records. I think that's awesome.
Absolutely agree. We'll speak with Big Daddy Don Garlitz just minutes from now. Tweet, retweet, repeat. Get it done. Also, big news coming out of the NHRA. And since it is an off week, Alan, we have a couple of questions for you. Not a ton. It's a light week, I would say. But some of them along the lines of this news story I'm about to mention. So I'll mention it and then maybe hit you with a question or two. But Sunoco Race Fuels announces a huge 10-year sponsor agreement with the NHRA beginning in 2015 to become the official sponsor and fuel of the NHRA. That is a big, big deal. I know there are a lot of Sunoco fueling stations around my parts. And if they can do for NHRA anything remotely close to how they brand NASCAR, it's going to be a good thing.
Well, anytime somebody's willing to make a 10-year commitment to whatever enterprise you have going on, that's fabulous. And, you know, a company that's got as much name recognition as Sunoco, especially in NASCAR territory, hopefully that'll get some new eyeballs to take a look at us. And my understanding, and I have to be honest, I didn't go into all the details of the agreement, but my understanding is that Sunoco is looking at expanding their reach and expanding their footprint considerably out of where the southeastern part of the country and the East Coast, where they're so heavily concentrated now, and that NHRA is going to be a big part of their branding coming west. So happy to have them on board and look forward to working with them on and off the track.
And that is a very exciting storyline as well. And, of course, the source of a couple of our questions. Are you ready to rock?
Okay.
You're ready to rock.
Okay, yeah, this is my favorite part of the show, Stump the Dummy.
Speaking of rocking, last week when we parted ways, I was going off to see the boss, Bruce Springsteen.
and I was going off to sell my Camaro, so I think we both had glorious weeks.
What? You sold the Camaro? It's gone?
It's gone.
That is great. Congratulations.
Yeah, all I got to do now is get UPS Rudy to sell me that Mustang he sent me the pictures of, and that'll be my next project.
There, did you see that thing? That was a sad one.
Yeah, but, you know, things like that happen. My next column in National Dragster is about barn finds, and it's just, it's interesting what happens to some cars from, you know, back in the day. They just, something happens that obviously takes precedence over what are we going to do with that car, and then they kind of just fall by the wayside, but it's nice to see when they, you know, kind of hit the radar again, come back and get resurrected. So I reached out to Rudy and didn't hear from him. I know he listens every week, so this is, closed circuit to UPS Rudy. Call me about that Mustang.
Yeah, there you go, Rudy. Make it happen. And maybe there's some sort of, like, connection finder's fee for the WFO Radio House. Who knows? Rudy is all pumped up. He's going to the Indy 500 in a couple of weeks. And so he's tweeting pictures of his tickets, and it's going to be his first time at the Brickyard, I think. So he is a bit distracted. You're going to have to make a move rapidly.
You know what? I'll wait until after he gets back if that's what it takes. But that's not an issue. I was really hurt that Rudy missed my Christmas party this year for the first time in, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. But no, I saw the tweet also about the Indy 500 stuff. And you know, as much as you know, because you and I talk about this, I'm not really a big IndyCar guy. You know, I respect what they do. I understand, but it's just not my form of racing. Having said that, the Indy 500 supersedes everything. That's just such an iconic event. I'm jealous that he's going and I'm not.
It's more American history probably than a motorsports event or anything like that. And it is. The Indy 500 just transcends everything. All right, back to the questions. Here we go. This one coming from Alex in Nevada. So how is the new Sunoco fuel sponsorship going to affect the racing teams, both short-term and long-term, asks Alex.
I honestly don't know that. I would assume that many of them, you know, guys that aren't necessarily locked into a particular fuel, and there are some classers and the heads-up racers that, you know, aren't necessarily locked into one particular brand of fuel. I don't think it'll be a huge issue there. As far as changeover, comp and pro stock, I think we'll see what NHRA deems as a legal Sunoco fuel for these particular categories, and then over time I would expect most, if not all, of the teams will make the switch.
Which it sounds like there will be a lot of testing going on between the 2014 and 2015 seasons, but that happens anyway.
Yeah, there's always going to be guys that are burning stuff on the dyno and doing things, and you know, almost everybody has the classic dyno mule, if you will. You know, you've got a base motor that you know makes decent power, and if you want to try a new camshaft, you can try it. If you want to try a new manifold, maybe you can try it. If you want to try new carburetors, you can try it, and you get a read on, you know, it's better, it's not as good, it's the same, and I think that's where the testing is going to start. You know, at this particular point in time, and just to use Pro Stock as an example, both cars and bikes, they have a spec fuel that they have to run. Now, if that spec is expanded to say, okay, now you're allowed to run either this or that, or if that spec becomes, okay, you must run this particular fuel, that will pretty much dictate how quickly the transition takes place. But I would expect over time most of the teams will make the switch.
I was, I read the transcript and I saw that Graham Light had mentioned that he didn't believe that the fuel was a good thing to have as a variable. There are other racing series where the fuel is a variable, and while there may be performance there, talk about a lot of money being spent on something that fans really aren't going to see.
Well, and you also get into, you know, when Pro Stock was told VPC 25 is the fuel you have to run, period, there were a number of teams, and especially the teams with the bigger budgets, that were experimenting with different chemicals in the fuel. Now, it's perfectly legal. I'm not saying that anybody was going outside or beyond the rules, because at the time, all you had to do was pass specific gravity, and if you could pass that, then whatever you did was fine. But when NHRA took fuel samples from a bunch of the teams, and I believe it was on the West Coast, maybe Sonoma or Seattle a few years ago, and had them analyzed, there were some pretty nasty chemicals that were being used that enhanced performance, were perfectly legal, but were not something that you'd want to spill on your hands. In the pit area, you know, not that you'd want to wash your hands in gasoline, even though some guys do that. But at that point, it came down to, you know what, we can save a lot of guys a lot of money, we can save a lot of guys a lot of headache, and we can get some of these pretty nasty chemicals out of the pit area, out of the trailers and off the property, and that was deemed to be a good thing from top to bottom. You know, obviously, if you're the guy that's got the magic fuel, then you feel like you're being punished at that point in time. But I think you look at it down the road a few years later, and everybody would tell you that that was a wise decision.
I agree. I agree completely, and sometimes rules have to be put in place. Next question. This one coming from Dave. I met Dave out at the four wide. He called in a question.
Hey, Joe, this is Dave. I'm one of those people that ran into you at the far end of the four wide nationals, and I had a question for Alan. And you might remember it, but after the fuel guys do a burnout, there's usually at least one, two, or three guys hustling over the engine, making some last-minute adjustments. I know they pull the throttle stop. Some of them even hand it to another crew member. And, well, what the hell are they doing to those things? Kind of last-minute, but that's my question. Forgot to let you know where I'm from. Brigantine, New Jersey. Normally go to E-Town, Maple Grove, Norwalk, and did the four wides this year. It was a blast, me and my son. And a big shout out to WFO Radio.
Says Dave from New Jersey.
Well, thanks for the call, Dave. What they're doing, you know, yes, they take the throttle stops off. They are also adjusting the idle speed on the side of the injector hat. There will be either air bleeds that are taped off or air bleeds that can be opened or closed to adjust the idle speed. The other guys that are looking over the deal basically are just checking for leaks, making sure everything's tight, nothing's dripping. At some point, they will charge the clutch cannon, which basically gets all the automated systems up to the ready point. So when the driver steps on the throttle, it kicks everything off. And then the last adjustment that most of the teams make as the cars pull up to pre-stage is they richen the fuel mixture, which just helps keep the motor from coughing from a lean condition when they smash the gas. You don't want to run them that rich for the entire process, but that's the last adjustment that's made, is turning the screw to richen up the fuel mixture before they pull in and stage. But for the most part, it's just a check to make sure that everything's tight, nothing's dripping, nothing's leaking, and then making sure the engine is at the proper RPM and fuel curve for the launch.
Very, very cool. And it's great to, during the track walk, Alan, I meet the listeners. They're out there. They come to the track walk.
Yeah, it's awesome. And the fact that now, you know, weather permitting and schedule permitting, I believe they have a track walk planned for every stop on the tour for the rest of the year. So it's a great opportunity for the fans to come out. It's always funny to watch guys walk out of their shoes, or, you know, no matter how many times you tell them, hey, if you got flip-flops, stay off to the side. But guys end up out there with their shoes stuck to the racetrack, and it's kind of an interesting experience for fans that haven't been that close to see just what exactly it takes to keep those tires stuck at the speed and the power that they're trying to put down.
Don't step on the paint, folks. Next question. This one coming from Marvin Rodak. Marvin, who sent some barbecue items to us a couple of weeks ago, regarding the conversation we had about the whack in the pit area where you're setting the clutch and that experience where you're waiting for it and it used to happen, but now it doesn't. He wonders, could NHRA make an advertising campaign bringing the whack back to the track or to an NHRA track near you, make buttons and get them out there? I got whacked at the NHRA. Go to your local track and get whacked. Have a couple of whack sessions on Friday and Saturday by basically building a special mule engine, Alan, that is designed specifically for that, just to display the sound and power of a nitro engine that isn't necessarily connected to a race car, so people can feel that experience and the teams can still do their thing as far as competition is. He wants to know your thoughts on that.
I love the slogans. As far as whether or not it could really happen, I don't see it. The biggest issue there would be you can't just build a nitro motor, go out there, fire it up, whack the throttle a couple of times, fire it up, whack the throttle a couple of times, without doing, you know, some basic maintenance on it. It would need at least to have an oil change. It would at least have the valves run. I don't know how many times you'd feel comfortable whacking the throttle before you, you know, pulled the pan off of it and checked the bearings, and you'd almost have to have a team to do that and start it up. You know, I wish there was a way you could get the teams to come back and start doing it again. The bottom line is just they've refined the combination to the point that it's more consistent not to do that, because you just can't possibly whack the throttle exactly the same every time. But you can put a stop on it, crack the RPM for a set number of seconds to seat the clutch, and you can do that exactly the same every time. So it's just one more variable they're trying to take out. Like I said, love the slogans. Heck, I'd wear a button, but I don't see NHRA bringing out a motor just so you can whack the throttle. And I also think that would suck some of the fun out of it. If it was, you know, okay, come by at 2 o'clock for a throttle whack, that wouldn't be nearly as much fun as it used to be when you'd stand there and watch the obvious people that were there for the first time, didn't know what was coming, and watch them jump out of their shoes when the teams used to do it randomly. So, you know, it's probably one of those things that for now is gone for good, and, you know, the sport just keeps moving forward.
There you have it. Hopefully not, but that is the way of things. More often than not, the way of the dry hop. Once upon a time, the dry hop was a very cool thing.
Exactly. And you know, you look at some of the old videos, there's some great ones, you know, back in the Jungle Gym era, where the guys would do a couple of dry hops. You know, you'd do the long smoky burnout, and then you'd back up and you'd pour down the VHT, and you'd do the little chirpy through the VHT, and then you'd do a dry hop, maybe across the line again, and they went through the whole routine before they staged the car and race. But over time, you just learn by refinement that you can be more consistent, you can get a better result, you can more easily predict what's going to happen if you take some of those variables out of the system. So a lot of those variables have been worked out of it.
Next question. Alan, who do you think will be the 100th win by a female? Ask Stacy in Kansas.
Right now, I would have to say Erica. You know, the if everything goes according to schedule, you know, we don't have like a Vegas situation where we end up running out of order. Even if females got to the final in the big three, Erica would have the first chance at it. And right now, I don't see a female in pro stock motorcycle that looks like they're in a position to go out and win a race. Now, you know, could it happen? Absolutely. You know, could Angie Smith step up? You bet. She's got great equipment. She's got, you know, could California Katie get a break on race day and have an opportunity? Yes. But if I was handicapping the odds, I don't see that happening. I believe that comparatively speaking, against the class that she's racing in, Erica has a better car against her field than Alexis does, or Courtney to begin the year, or even Brittany. If Alexis won it, it certainly wouldn't surprise me. That car's been running very well. But on a consistent week-in and week-out basis, right now, it looks like Erica is probably the favorite to do that, unless George Bryce can get Angel to come get on a motorcycle next week.
There you have it. All right, couple more. You know, I'm thinking about how competitive the fight is going to be to be the 100th female, to receive the 100th win by a female in the NHRA. But a lot of the normal things that I would say to describe this very competitive fight are not applicable.
Well, the worst part of it is that, you know, they're not going to have a chance to compete against each other. If there would ever be a situation where you could go, all right, you know, Angel or Erica is going to go up against Alexis head-to-head, and one of them is going to be, but that obviously isn't going to happen. If it ended up that Erica doesn't get it, the motorcycles don't get it, and say Courtney was going to be racing Alexis in the final, I think that would be cool, because obviously you got a double whammy thing going there. You know, it's all just going to be a matter of how it plays out. It would have been interesting last week with Erica in the final for Pro Stock had Alexis been in the final, or had Alexis and Courtney been in the final. Because at that point, Erica could be number 99, but she would then guarantee that she would not be number 100, because either Alexis or Courtney was going to get it. So at that point, do you go up there with a different mentality going, you know, if there's ever a time that I'm not maybe racing for Now, in Houston, I don't think there's any way that Erica would pull back from that, because her home racetrack, where she grew up, all the friends and family, and I don't think her competitive nature would ever let her do that anyway. But the way it is now, you know, it's a wide open deal, and if two females should happen to win in Atlanta or Topeka or wherever on the same day, if we get number 100 and 101 in the same day, would they do something special for the second one? I don't know. Should they? Yeah, maybe. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Because of the way the schedule went in Vegas, remember, Erica has number 98, has number 99, and could have number 100.
We shall see. All right, final question. This one coming from Dale. Hey, Joe, it was good to meet you and Joe Sr. on your fuel stop in Jacksonville. What a great way to spend time with your father to learn about his past. And what he is referring to, folks, is this past week, my father and I went to Parris Island, South Carolina, the United States Marine Corps Recruit Depot, where my dad was a drill instructor, for his drill instructor reunion. And along the way, a WFO radio listener, Dale, pulled off the side of the road when we were getting fuel and introduced himself and said hi, and actually called in or emailed in with a question. First, he says, thank your dad for his service. His question for us, Alan, is, as a new follower of NHRA, what is the one racetrack that is your favorite to go to? Thanks, WFO, and I am flying the stickers you gave me on the back window of my truck, says Dale.
Denver.
Denver.
I just absolutely love Denver. There are some spectacular tracks. You know, obviously Bristol is amazing. Charlotte is a showpiece. Chicago is unbelievable. You know, the Norwalk experience is something that, you know, needs to be on everybody's bucket list. But if the question was what racetrack, and there is no racetrack that has the layout, has the feel of Denver, it's a struggle for performance up there because of the thin air, you know, being a mile high up there and carved in the side of the mountain. But the Bandemir family does such a terrific job, and the personality of the racetrack is just amazing. The Top Eliminator Club in Denver, you're looking straight into the header pipes of the top fuel cars. It's just, you know, from the first time I set foot in that place, I always told everybody, you know, that's one that you definitely need to get out and see, just because there is no place else on the tour anything like Denver.
Well, I have not been to Denver, and so I cannot say. However, this year I am going to Denver, so I will be able to report more completely after that trip. I'm very excited about that. Given my limited experience, you know, he says track. I loved Brainerd. I thought Brainerd was a great full experience, both during the racing schedule and away from it.
Yeah, and Brainerd is. You know, it's a terrific place if you want to go do more than just the race. You know, cruising through the zoo and meeting with the fans and being a part of the festivities, because that's just a 5-day celebration of everything up there at Brainerd. You know, you could make a sales pitch for pretty much every track out there. You know, we've talked before about the history of a place like Maple Grove, or the history of a place like Indy. You know, Dallas really was the first of the super tracks. Topeka is terrific because the way the community gets behind it. There's no place you can go in Topeka where somebody doesn't say, hey, are you here for the races? What do you do? What team are you with? You know, Sonoma is the middle of the road course, and the rolling hills out there in wine country is just a unique backdrop. You know, Pomona obviously has all the history there. Seattle, when you're literally in the middle of the woods out there trying to run a drag race, you know, I could make a pitch for every track on the tour as far as, you know, what's special about this one and what's special about that one. But for, you know, like I said, they're just the what racetrack. I really like Denver.
And we're currently pitching Bristol Dragway as one of our sponsors here on WFO Radio. Coming up, of course, the Big Father's Day event, another one that I will be at. So I'm going to pitch that one out there as well. And you know, those Speedway Motorsports tracks are always awesome.
Oh, absolutely. And I mentioned Bristol. I put that on my list early.
Thunder Valley.
Like a Bristol, Charlotte. It's just, it's an amazing place. There are so many of them, but
got to go to them all. That's the deal. You got to go. You got to hit them all. Take a couple of years.
And pick your own favorite.
There you have it, Alan. Those are the questions. Great job as usual.
Cool. Joe, glad to be back on board, and I probably ought to get back to work. I don't want to get fired out here.
Yes, exactly. Get back to the studio. A little more drag boat racing, folks, on MAV-TV, certainly. Thank you for coming on the show. We got Don Garlitz coming up. We got Hector Jr. We got Mike Janis. We're going to be all across the board. But I love starting off with Alan Reinhart. Alan, thank you so much.
Joe, always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you next Tuesday. And by that time, it'll be time to go racing again.
Yes, sir. Heading to ATL, Little Atlanta. Alan, thank you very much.
All right, Joe.
The NHRA's Alan Reinhardt joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. And he is back in the studio cranking out those MAV TV drag boat racing programs. Very, very cool. We've got a great show for you. Big Daddy Don Garlitz going to be on this show just minutes from now. And I know what you're thinking. If you're a drag racing fan, you know Big Daddy Don Garlitz. You know the legend, everything he has done, his career. Well, now he has done something new. If you go back into the WFO Radio archive, you will hear one of the first interviews with Big about this project. It's right there. We've been tracking it the whole time. It is new. It is fresh. It is exciting. It is current. The electric dragster that he told you about right here on WFO Radio about a year ago went 725.8 at 184.01 miles per hour, breaking the old electric record for a quarter mile. Previous record was 795 at 156. So just to see exactly how much they devastated the old record is huge. But we're going to ask Garlitz all about it. We're going to find out what he's got to say, how much more is in this thing, and why he's doing it. Big Daddy Don Garlitz, Swamp Rat 37, going to be on this show. Tweet, retweet, repeat. This is something you're going to want to know, you're going to want to hear it, and you're going to have an opinion about it, and I want to hear what it is. Of course, you can call us, Skype us, 954-889-6796. Very cool. Also on the show, Hector Arana Jr. Hector Jr. out there running in the Pro Stock Motorcycle class will be battling it out in Atlanta. We're going to check in with Hector Jr., find out what's going on over there with the Arana Pro Stock Motorcycle program. We'll see what Hector's got on his mind as we get ready for the next race that he will be participating in. Also on the show, Pro Modified winner in Houston, Mike Janis. That's right. We're continuing to expand our horizons and speak with winners not just in the Mellow Yellow Series, but also the Lucas Oil Top Alcohol classes and Pro Modified classes. Hey, it's about, can we get a hold of these guys? And do they have time to speak with us here on WFO? And in this case, Mike did. We did. He does. You're going to hear him right here on WFO Radio. So get in, sit down, do that whole thing, and get ready. Of course, we love for you to share the show, tweet, retweet, repeat, and let all your friends know about WFO Radio. We got Big Daddy Don Garlitz coming up next, but first, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, and how cool is it that Frank is teaming up with Scotty Richardson out at Fontana, California, Auto Club Dragway, on June 4th and 5th. They're going to combine the programs. Hawley and Richardson will combine the Schooled by Scotty program you heard Scotty talk about right here on WFO Radio with Frank's personal performance development lectures for the first time ever out there at Auto Club Dragway in Fontana, California, on June 4th and 5th. So if you're a Super Series racer, if you're a bracket racer, and you want to get better, this is the one you want to go to. Open a browser, go to frankhawley.com, or call them. This is a great way to do it, too. 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. You can also find out about the Dragster Adventure. But Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School is in the news, joining forces with Scotty Richardson. And, of course, Scotty is in the archive after that tremendous event just a couple of weeks back at 4 Wide and Z-Max Dragway, now joining forces with Frank Hawley for frankhawley.com and the Frank Hawley Drag Racing School, Schooled by Scotty. Check it out, coming to Fontana, California, June 4th and 5th. Not to mention the Dragster Adventure coming to a track near you. Go to frankhawley.com to find out more. When we return, we're going to hear from Big Daddy Don Garlitz right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
On Valentine's Day, he took his wife to that expensive, fancy restaurant. On Halloween, he took the kids around the neighborhood to ask strangers for candy. So this Father's Day weekend, let's do what Dad wants to do. Go to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, June 13 to 15 at Bristol Dragway. 10,000 horsepower, 300 miles an hour, and nitro pumping power that'll make your bones rattle. See drag racing's biggest stars like John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany make this the best Father's Day ever. Start a new Father's Day weekend tradition at the Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals. Tickets start at just $20, $79 for the entire weekend. Plus, save on tickets and get your kids' tickets free if you order before June 7th. Just call 423-BRISTOL or go online to thundervalleytix.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Joining us now, Antron Brown. AB, welcome back.
I found out this year that if you want some, you have to go out and get it. I mean, we could say that we want some real bad, but if you want some, you've got to go and work for it, and you got to put the extra time in. And I know the formula now that we got to put the extra time in and week out. If we even plan on contending for this championship and running for another championship, we got to race like that every weekend and not let up.
It ain't just wide open. It's WFO. Now back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, and we are in between weeks, which means we have time to talk about cool stuff and side stories. And a story we have been following for a long time is the return of Big Daddy Don Garlitz with his electric dragster. Well, a record has been set, 725.8 at 184, the new record for an electric dragster, and we have got the man, Big Daddy Don Garlitz, on the line to talk about it. Don, welcome back to WFO. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. You know, we've been working on this project over 2 years. It was really exciting to see it come to a head and get that. We wanted to go 200, but you know, it's a brand new car, lots of new technology, and some things were not exactly like we thought were easy to overcome, and we intend to go back in around the first couple weeks in June, and we'll make the 200, I think, pretty easy.
I think it's very cool that you guys had 1,000 people show up just to watch you test this machine.
Yes, it was, and I really like that because, you know, the car is quiet, and I was afraid maybe that it wouldn't be very exciting, like fuel dragsters are so noisy, you know, but the crowd loved it. It was so awesome to see that thing sit there dead still and just launch like a rocket, you know, and you can hear the tires screeching, and even when you shift, you can hear it screech.
It is a great-looking machine now that the body panels are on it, and it's got some of the attributes that you have designed over the years, including the covered front wheels and the monostrut wing. 184 miles per hour, Don. Tell me how it felt to you with all your vast experience. How did this car feel?
It felt real good. I mean, especially the launch. It was unbelievable to sit there, everything quiet, and all of a sudden it snatches you at about 5 Gs. And, you know, we know that the gearing was off because it got to the 1,000-foot mark and it just leveled out. It didn't accelerate anymore. we were running 184 miles an hour long before the end of the quarter.
What kind of 60-foot, by the way, I don't want you to tell me anything that you don't want to tell me in terms of times or performance, but I didn't see a 60-foot time reported.
One second, 1.0.
Oh, wow, okay, that thing is moving.
Yeah, that's good. You know, fuel dragster, a real modern fuel dragster is 0.8. So we're 2/10 of a second at right now with a fuel dragster, within 2/10.
Wow, that is very, very impressive. And you mentioned shifting and gearing. What handles that? I understand there's an electric motor and a lot of new technology, but as far as gear multiplication and shifting, what are you using?
We use a B&J two-speed transmission with a 1.4 reduction for low, and then it shifts into high, which is direct. And we had a 3.7 9-inch forward rear end made by Mark Williams and Denver, Colorado, and we're going to change that to a 3.5 ratio and change the transmission to a 1.45, so I'll still have the same starting ratio almost. I was starting with a 5.13, and I'll be starting with a 5.08, which will be fine, but I'll shift into a 3.50, which should give me the RPM with those engines operating in the correct power range to carry me to a little over 200 miles an hour.
And, of course, that is the goal, and I believe we're coming up on the 50-year anniversary of when you first broke 200 miles per hour in a piston dragster. How has this project been received by your peers, Don?
Well, some of them like it. Some of them aren't happy. They're afraid it might do something and change the sport paradigm, you know, from top fuel dragster. But, you know, I love fuel dragsters and I love funny cars, but the fact of the matter is anybody can look at it and see it's not a sustainable venture because, you know, we're up around $50,000 to make a run. You know, it's $5 million, $6 million to field one of these cars for a year. There used to be 125 of them. Now there's only about 17 or 18 of them. They're all owned by a couple of real rich teams. It's not really the way it should be. We need something that anybody could go racing that wants to. And, you know, I look into the future and I see one of these electric dragsters being able to field one for right around $100,000. And then that's all you need in the battery charger.
That idea sounds fantastic. What about going 184 again, Don? I know you've been 300, but lately been running the Drag Pack Challenger. So to go 184 in this machine must have felt pretty fast. How was that experience?
Well, you know, it's not real fast for me, and I enjoyed it. 184 is fast, I mean, but you know, when you've been 300, it's not very fast. And of course, I drive my Challenger the 2011 drag pack car goes 145 miles an hour in 9.4 seconds, so it was a lot nicer ride than that. And the 7.25, what you got to understand in 184, in 1964, when I went the 201.34, was only 7.78 seconds. So this car is much quicker off the starting line than the 64 Swamp Rat that broke the 200-mile-an-hour record. So we figure we could sacrifice a little ET if we have to pick up the top end.
What do you see? You already alluded to it in our conversation, affordability, the accessibility of going fast and acceleration, the fun of drag racing for a lesser price. What do you see as the long-term viability for this? Like, who will have this, say, in 5 or 10 years?
I think there'll be a class for them, and they'll be very, very acceptable by the public as the planet continues to go green and continues to spend more investment in technology for electric vehicles. That I drove a Tesla car during the test. They had one there. I went 105 miles an hour in 13 seconds in a bone stock Tesla car right off the showroom that Grandma could drive to the grocery store, and that equates to super stock times for my cars back in the 60s. I see lots and lots of improvements. We've already checked on the battery. The battery pack that cost us $150,000 for this car is available from China for $16,000. That reduces the price of the vehicle tremendously. The electric motors, the more technology we get into this thing, the more use. This is an experimental car. it's a possibility we maybe be able to build these cars for $60,000-$65,000 in the end with virtually no maintenance. But here's the good part. These cars could race live TV, just like NASCAR. There wouldn't be any oil downs. I drove back from one run when I didn't deploy the chute, drove straight around to the starting line, and made the 184 run. So if you made your run and they wrapped the parachute around the car, you drove back to the staging lanes, your crew quickly packed the parachute while there was a big cable plugged into your car for charging, you could actually turn these cars around in 15 minutes probably. What? I mean, wouldn't that make wonderful live drag racing?
Yes, it would. It would be very exciting. What about the tunability, Don? Like, where would the performance differences come from? As someone who has experienced it, I'm sure there's laptops connected. Let's say there's eight teams out there. They've got them. What would be the separating factors from the winners and the losers, the fast guys and the slow guys? Where is the performance on something like this?
It'd all be in the computerization of the control boxes. And the driver's ability to leave and steer and shift properly, we would like this class to never go to automatic anything. In other words, they already said, well, why don't we shift that thing automatic? No, no, no. Make the driver shift it. That's one of the variables. The driver's got to have, see, there's no variables in top fuel racing now except the driver's leave ability. After that, he just hangs on and lets out the chute and shuts it down. And of course, in 3.7 seconds, what can you do? You got to think about this for a minute. A 3.7 time race doesn't give the spectator much of a show, and it certainly doesn't give the driver anything to do but hold on. That's a little too quick for competition. These cars should be kept in this range of 6 to 7 seconds, maybe 230 miles an hour, maybe 235, who knows, right in there. That's where it should be shut off. And then we could have good side-by-side racing. The drivers tuning them, you know, the different charges, the way the batteries took the charge, how they applied the charge to the motors, through the computerization, the control box are all computerized. This is where the difference will come in the teams.
What is next for you, Don? Like, what is the timeline? Where will we see you with this car? Where will we see you out on the NHRA Mellow Yellow Tour, if at all? And it certainly sounds like from your voice that this has got you fired up. This has got you really jazzed.
I am. I'm pumped on this thing, and I'll tell you, it's unbelievable. I can't believe that at 82 years of age, I've got so excited about something. But I see something here. There's so many of my friends would love to race and just can't race, and this might open the doors. It might change everything. I think it would be so good for the electric car industry. It would show the general public just what these electric vehicles are capable of. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, an electric car that drives down the street is so much better for the planet for the simple reason that the power is all generated in a power plant which is strictly controlled environmentally. And the motors, the electric motors, will always be the same, producing no pollution to speak of whatsoever, no matter whether they're a day old or 10 years old. Not like an internal combustion engine. As it wears, it pollutes more and more. And you've got to let the people keep these cars. They can't afford to keep buying new cars every time you turn around. So we've got to get the cost of the electric vehicle down, and we're going to do that with these dragsters. We're going to go around. I plan a tour for 2015 with two of these cars match racing each other, going around the country, doing shows, and showing the people the viability of an electric car and the electric dragster.
Do you think, and I'm wondering what my listeners are thinking right now, hearing Big Daddy Don Garlitz, the guy, talk about, just I'm going to throw some buzzwords out there, green, environmental viability. These kind of conversations have not really happened before, Don, and to have you, in a way, leading a charge has to be surprising for some of the people out there.
Well, you know what my new slogan is? Garlitz goes green.
Wow. But the cars are still going to be black, though, right?
Yes. We'll just have green uniforms.
There you go. Don, thank you so much. It's very exciting following this process. Swamp Rat 37, going to try to break the 200-mile-per-hour mark. You say it's possible. You say it's going to happen. We're going to be watching. It's very exciting. Most importantly, to watch you out there going through this process with renewed energy and excitement. That is what is most fun to me, and I'm sure many of us who have followed your career. Thank you for taking the time on WFO Radio. Once again, we certainly appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Don. Don Garlitz, Big Daddy, with us here on WFO Radio. And if you go back into the WFO Radio archive, maybe you're a new listener, maybe you saw this for the first time, maybe you just got a smartphone, an iPhone, an Android phone, and you download the WFO Radio app, go into the archive. And if you go online to WFOradio.com, you can go back to the archive as far back as you want and listen to the conversations we have had with Big Daddy Don Garlitz. I tell you, I am very proud of the work that we have done just in documenting drag racing legends, their thoughts, their opinions, all of that. And Don Garlitz obviously got renewed energy. He is very interested in this. He is pursuing it heavily, and I think it is very, very interesting. Now, I also know that there are probably some people out there that aren't into the idea of the electric dragster. I am into the idea of innovation. That's what I like. I like the idea of racers pushing technology forward. That is what I like. And I spent a little time this past week in the car, basically. You heard the story about Dale, the listener out there. What's up, Dale? On our way up to Parris Island, South Carolina, me and my father. And what a great experience going to the Marine Corps Recruit Depot and checking out a graduation and the drill instructor reunion. I'm going to talk about that at the tail end of the show a little bit more. But we spoke about the Bruce Springsteen concert as well. We'll talk about that at the tail end of the show. But we spoke about, Dad and I are both obviously big drag racing fans, and we love cars too. But we spoke about the idea of an electric dragster. We spoke about what are the possibilities, what are the ramifications, both positive and negative. And clearly there's no sound. Alan mentioned that at the start of the show, and Garlitz mentioned it. There's not a lot of sound, but you hear the tires and you hear different things. The lack of sound is currently hurting Formula One, but people are evolving beyond it already, getting used to the new noise. So that is just something that happens. But what if you could run on a weekly basis for a lot less money? What if you could go out and campaign a dragster in, say, Super Comp for half the price with half the maintenance? Would that be a good thing or a bad thing? Obviously, people who are in the business of building big block Chevrolet internal combustion engines, they're going to be against it. Simple to understand why. But the people who don't have the cash right now to go out and compete and travel and get down the road, maybe they'd be for it. It's going to be interesting to watch how this develops because it is new technology. And to have Don Garlitz on the razor's edge of the new technology out there trying to set records, trying to eclipse 200 miles per hour, which he says is absolutely going to happen once they change the gears. And all you tech guys out there, you could hear that Big is obviously just throwing the numbers at us, baby. Throwing the numbers at us. Gear ratios and multiplications and all of that. He needs 16 miles per hour to do it. I think that's a pretty big story. And if you want to cover it, I also understand that there's probably some people out there in the internal combustion engine world that don't want to hear about this, that this represents some sort of potential future threat. And this is not just a drag racing story. This is a story that we have seen many, many times in the past over many, many different types of technology over the years. But they don't have Big Daddy Don Garlitz championing the potential as we have seen in the past. And it has nothing to do necessarily with even cars. The buggy whip analogy comes to mind that I'm sure you've heard thousands and thousands of times about the company that was the best buggy whip maker. And what happened? By the way, there are still buggies that are in use. But great conversation, and big thanks to Big Daddy for coming on WFO, and I would like to hear your thoughts. 954-889-6796. That's 954-889-6796. Your thoughts, you can Skype directly. Go to the website. Just click the Skype button if you have the new WFO radio app. If you have downloaded the app, you can go to the contact page. And from your smartphone, just click call, and it will call us. And it works just like a voicemail anytime, day or night. Leave your name, where you're calling from, Big WFO, and your thoughts. I am very excited to hear what the WFO radio listeners have to say. Now, coming up on the show, we have got Hector Arana Jr. going to join us, and Mike Janis, Pro Stock Motorcycle and Pro Modified, heavily represented on this edition of WFO Radio. Then later on in the show, I'm going to tell you my story about the United States Marine Corps Recruit Depot, Paris Island. Hoorah! And, of course, Bruce Springsteen. And I know it's kind of old news, but for the fourth year in a row, I hit the Derby again. The Kentucky Derby. That's 4 years in a row. I'm picking winners, baby. Walking out of there, cashing tickets. Just something I like to do on Derby Day each year. So I will crow about that even more. But first, I want to tell you how to get some free WFO radio stickers. I had a question sent in. Basically, it said, I heard you're giving out WFO radio stickers for free. How do I get some? Says Leslie in Georgia. And here's how you get them, Leslie. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope. What does that mean? That means I open your envelope and in there find an envelope addressed to you. That all I have to do is stick the stickers in and seal it, and I will send it back to you immediately. You have already applied the postage. You have already done the work by putting the address on there, which you can imagine takes a lot of time. I can just turn them around. Here's the address. WFO Stickers, P.O. Box 848353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. And we check the box every couple of days, and we find the envelopes in there, and we load them up with some stickers and send them out. And Dale, who we met on the road out there, I was able to hand him his stickers, which is kind of cool. But if you want some WFO Radio Icon stickers, P.O. Box 848353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. Send them down. All right, when we come back, Hector Arana Jr. joins us right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
A regular man trims his chest hair. A man's man trims his chest hair with a chainsaw. A regular man teaches his kid how to ride a bicycle. A man's man teaches his kid how to do a wheelie on a dirt bike. A regular man celebrates Father's Day. A man's man celebrates Father's Day at the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, June 13 to 15 at Bristol Dragway. It's everything that makes men feel like men. Fast cars, loud noise, and enough horsepower to make your bones rattle. So don't spend Father's Day making an imprint on the couch. Get off your rear end and do something fun. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals at Bristol Dragway. Tickets start at just $20 and $79 for the whole weekend. Order before June 7th and save. Get yours today at ThunderValleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, and another one of those off weeks. But in 2 weeks, we'll be in Atlanta. I will be there, and the Pro Stock Motorcycles will be there. Give us an opportunity to catch up with a friend of the show, Hector Arana Jr. is with us. Hector, welcome back.
Joe, thanks for having me. I was about to forget what your voice sounded like. It's been so long.
It's been a while. The motorcycles kind of have a strange start to the season. You guys get a taste in Gainesville, and then, of course, the four wide. But it's about to start ramping up for you guys. You get a little taste. How are things going?
Oh, it's going good. You know, we had our appetizer, and then we just had our salad over there in Charlotte. And now we're about to, you know, start with the main course, start racing.
Hey, exactly. Two wide, standard racing, and how would you rate the way you guys have started so far? I know you've had some fast motorcycles. Things haven't exactly worked out exactly how you would like so far, but it seems pretty even out there. What do you think?
Oh, of course. Definitely the racing is even. We had a Suzuki win. Now we had a Harley win, and the Buells they're not far behind. So definitely another great season of parity, and it's going to be a great year. And I'm not going to sweat not winning the first or second race like I did last year, because I've gone through and I've looked, you know, back in history where you see these guys, they come out with a bang. They win the first three races, the four or five races, whatever, funny car or top field, different things like that. And, you know, come countdown, they ended up not doing so well. And then that kind of what happened with me, and we were pushing it so hard there in the beginning and trying to stay on top, and then come the countdown, we just had a bunch of silly little things happen, from sensors to motor failures. So this year we're going to focus on being consistent and testing new things and staying in the countdown, of course, but really hopefully have everything to come out with a big bang in the countdown.
It's all about those final six races, and I know some people think, well, that's not cool, because when you win Atlanta, say, it should be a big deal, but it is a big deal. It's just that those final six races to decide the championship require an extra level of perfection.
Correct. And don't get me wrong, I want to win all the races. I want to win Atlanta, and I want to win the race after and the race after. But I'm not going to sweat when I don't win the race. What I'm trying to get at.
You're only 35 points out of the lead after two races. It just shows how tight it is. Andrew leading the pack, Scotty Polacek second, and Scotty's still working on a deal. It's kind of a fluid situation. Johnny Hall third, Eddie, and then you. So it is a very tight pack right now. And at this point, anything can happen. We had a great conversation at the four wide. I was talking to you on the starting line doing my announcer thing, and I was a little worried I might have messed you up on the starting line. You told me you weren't worried about that stuff.
Yeah, you know, I don't let those things get into my head. I know you hear people which glove they put on first, and they pay attention to that. There are little superstitions like that, or trying not to get, nobody talk to them once they have the helmet on. But, you can't let those little things bother you, because if you let those little things bother you, then, the other racers know that. And say if you put a glove on, now you're second guessing which glove you put on, and, it can mess you up. So I try to, I've done that a couple times when you're on the hot streak and you're doing well, and then you start to think, oh, what I do, trying to, simulate everything. But then I'm like, that is silly to let that mess with my concentration. So, I don't think that was in qualifying, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. Well, what had happened was, for those who weren't listening on the audio stream, and I don't know why or don't remember, which is probably more accurate, we had a little bit of downtime. And I saw Hector out on the starting line, thought it would be a great opportunity to speak with him for the live crowd, and we did. And then immediately after, and this comes from me being a racer myself, you had some sort of problem, the bike didn't go down the track. And I'm thinking, oh boy, the last person that spoke with him before he had a problem was me, and the bike doesn't get down the track. Oh boy, my fault. Even though I know that's not the case. You never know with superstitious types out there, racers especially. And then later on in the day, you put me at ease that it wasn't my fault.
Yeah, but now, come to think about it, I forgot that we didn't make it down the track. No more interviews. No,
listen, it's tough out there. But I think that you guys, as the Pro Stock Motorcycle racers, offer maybe one of the most unique opportunities for the interview right before you run, because you're there, you're on the bike, you're open, you're accessible. The fans can actually see you, and the idea that you might say something cool right before you run 190 plus miles per hour, I think that's interesting to people. So that's why I'm going for that stuff.
Yeah, I do too, because I think it lets the fans connect with us to see that this actually is a person going down the track on this bike, and you get to hear their voice and their words come out of their mouth before they make a run. I think it ties it in, and it's definitely a great touch.
It's something that you guys certainly deserve as much coverage as possible out there on those things, slinging them around in such close racing. How's Adam and how are your dad? Obviously, the three-bike team back again this year. Adam, where you were a year ago now, having put his rookie season in the rearview mirror. How's the whole three-bike team working, and how are you all feeling, and has your dad shaved the beard yet? He says he wasn't going to shave it till he won.
No, he has not shaved the beard yet, and I don't know where the shaving till he won has come out. He said he didn't say that. I guess just everybody assumed that, but I think it's mostly he's being stubborn. My mom wants him to shave it, and he's being stubborn right now.
I told him he needs to go full Duck Dynasty with it instead of trimming it. He needs to let it just go wild.
Is that what you're going to do?
Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? I couldn't stand... if I don't shave once a week at worst, I go crazy. I can't stand the itching. I see what your dad has already, and I think that would destroy me. I could not handle it. I don't even know how he's gone this far.
I don't know either. I just went 2 weeks without shaving, and I had to do it. I took it as long as I could. I said, I don't see how you're doing this. There is no way.
It takes a different type of person. They can handle it somehow. Maybe they're mentally stronger or not. I don't know. But all I know is I tried it once. Because, there's certain ladies out there that just love a guy with a beard. It's just the way it is. And so, same with long-haired guys. There are certain ladies that like long-haired guys. And you might want to try that once in a while. Let your hair grow long. Except I can't do that either. It becomes too annoying. It's itching. It's bothering you. It's on you. It's not for me. What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? I guess you're just going to be you.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And that has always been relatively short hair and clean shaven for as long as I can remember. Now, Hector, what is going on with the team in the pursuit of more speed? Give me some insight into how you guys have handled the off-season and the season to this point, in that you got Gainesville to figure out where you were, and then the four wide is kind of a totally different circus. But are you guys testing? Are you working on the engines on dynos? Are you constantly trying to find more horsepower?
Oh, Joe, man, we're constantly trying. We haven't been testing in a track, but, you know, we got the dyno. We're constantly going over all the motors. Right now we're kind of finding a crank issue, and, you know, S&S is working on that, and they're working on the new crank, and hopefully it will be a cure for that, because, right now we got motors that four runs and the crank's no good, or we put in the crank and, for whatever reason we have issues. Charlotte Adam just broke the crank, only had 16 passes, and it really makes it tough to move forward when you're constantly rebuilding the motors, because it's not allowing us enough time to put the R&D on these motors, which, so that right now it's kind of like you're at the point where you build the motor and you don't really want to go testing because you're afraid of how many runs you're going to have on it before you have to rebuild it, so you want to save it. But, and along with all that going on, we're still working on trying to, you know, nitpick at every little thing, and it's getting tough because these motors, we're at the point where we're right there, you know, everything's kind of, you're at that maxed out level, so we're looking for a half a horsepower and just little things here and there. So right now it's just whoever can finesse the motor the best and make those perfect passes. So that's what we're working on, and I believe as our team we've showed potential. We've, you know, we set a track record the last race, and now we just gotta do that every pass, stay consistently that fast. And, get my dad and my brother right there where we're all three of us are going that quick, and I think we're on to a good year.
At the last race in Houston, they had Nitro Harleys there, and I've seen them a couple of times in person, but not at a national event. I know that's going to be happening at some races. What do you think about those things, Hector? Is that something you would ever want or try to do?
You know, I don't know. To be honest with you, those guys, you know, they say we're nuts. Those guys are crazy. They're doing a wheelie the whole quarter mile. The front tire is off the ground, and they're having to let off the gas just to set the tire down in order to go through the beams at the top end. I couldn't imagine going that fast and the speed that they're going. It's incredible. But definitely, I think if the opportunity were to arise, I don't know that I could pass it up. I'd definitely have to try. I don't know that I would ride it, you know, all out like they do, but I would definitely have to give it a shot.
There would have to be a learning curve for a while. That does have to be an unbelievable experience. Like you said, letting the front tire down so you can take the beam with it is it's a little crazy. But then again, the level of competition out there in Pro Stock Motorcycle is very tight as well. Hector, always great catching up with you. Wanted to have you on the show. We hadn't had you on yet in 2014, and got a couple weeks before the next race, but then we'll be out in Atlanta. Of course, we always encourage our listeners who are in the area to come out to the race and have a little fun with us. I am certainly looking forward to it, seeing you and everybody out there from the Mellow Yellow Series. Thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio once again. Checking in.
Joe, thanks for having me on WFO Radio. You know, last time we had this conversation, it led to good things. So hopefully this will too. And I just got to thank Luke Soyle for giving me the opportunity to race. And, you know, along with Protect the Harvest, Matt TV, and everybody else that helps us out. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Hector. Hector Arana Jr. with us here on WFO Radio. And so I am now going to be able to go up and talk to him right on the starting line, like right as he's staging. That's my plan. He and Michael Ray both, Michael Ray was the first to tell me this, any time, just come up and put the mic in his face and he's good to talk about it. I thought that was cool. And great to hear that Hector is cool with it too. Now, will I actually do that? No, I probably won't. But great to check in with Hector Arana Jr., have him on the show. I love the idea that WFO is the racer's choice. That of the shows he likes to come on, this is the one that is his favorite. That is great. I have a feeling you're going to hear that again. And Hector was, we were the first people to ever interview Hector Arana Jr. at the PRI show. Do you want to hear that interview? You want to hear how far this kid has come? Go back into the WFO archive. It is there. You can find it. And it was a great time. Of course, he's going to be battling for the championship and learning how to win a championship. Lessons of the past applied to the future. It is going to be very, very cool. And if you're in Atlanta, plan on coming out and hanging out with us when the NHRA comes to town next weekend. I will be there. It is on my schedule. I got to read my full schedule at some point because there are some races that I want to give people some time to get to, obviously. And there are races like Bristol, for instance. I will be there. And that is a racetrack. If you haven't seen, you're obviously hearing the commercials. Bristol Dragway has come on, and we're directing our listeners to go to get your tickets for the Father's Day weekend. Bristol Dragway, it is a very cool racetrack. Thunder Valley is one that I have been to in the past, and one of the first tracks that I went to that was not Gainesville was Bristol. And I was blown away by the amenities. It is beautiful. It is a beautiful facility. I had been to the oval track, the world's fastest half mile, but then got to the drag strip a couple of years back. And it is awesome. What are you doing for Father's Day? You want to come hang with us? Come hang with us at Bristol. All right, when we come back, Mike Janis, Pro Modified winner down there at Houston. And Mike is going to come on the show. We're going to talk about his win. We're going to go round by round. We're going to get into the whole Pro Modified class, and we are working really hard to make sure that you subscribe and you got to hear this show every week. That's what it is. We have the WFO Radio app. It is free. It has been updated. It has got new 4x Comp Plus award-winning artwork. It's got all kinds of great stuff in there. Download the new WFO Radio app. But maybe you're against the WFO Radio app. You just don't want the WFO app. Stitcher is an app that you can download and listen to the show on as well. Tune in. You can tune in on the TuneIn app. You can use your iPhone or Android phone to subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes. It is not important to me how you listen to the show. What is important is that you listen, you tweet, retweet, repeat, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and just talk to your friends. Let them know. Hey, you can hear Garlitz talk about his record-breaking electric dragster. You can hear Hector Arana Jr. talk about his team, how they're planning to win the championship. You can hear pro-modified winners like Mike Janis on WFO Radio every week. When's it on? Whenever you want. When should I listen? Whenever you want. Show is available 7 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays. We have our Ignition show as well, which is heavy NASCAR, heavy Formula One, and a lot of socializing and carrying on. Of course, we'll be talking about the Dega, but if you are a WFO Radio listener and you check in with us on a weekly basis, well, thank you so much. We certainly appreciate it. When we come back, Mike Janis will join us right here. Janis will join us right here on WFO.
This is WFO Radio.
On Valentine's Day, he took his wife to that expensive, fancy restaurant. On Halloween, he took the kids around the neighborhood to ask strangers for candy. So this Father's Day weekend, let's do what Dad wants to do. Go to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, June 13 to 15 at Bristol Dragway. 10,000 horsepower, 300 miles an hour, and nitro-pumping power that'll make your bones rattle. See drag racing's biggest stars like John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany make this the best Father's Day ever. Start a new Father's Day weekend tradition at the Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals. Tickets start at just $20, $79 for the entire weekend. Plus, save on tickets and get your kids' tickets free if you order before June 7th. Just call 423-BRISTOL or go online to thundervalleytix.com.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866 866- 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Another great show rolling by here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. And if you are a first-time listener, you got to know by now, we are trying to go into all kinds of new directions. We've already heard from Don Garlitz talking about his electric dragster setting a record. We heard from Hector Arana Jr., but now we're going to go back to the Spring Nationals in Houston and talk a little Pro Modified. The Pro Modified guys, they put in so much time, effort. Those cars are wild. They're fast. They deserve a little bit of love. And so joining us now, he was the winner in Pro Modified out there. He joins us now. Mike Janis is with us. Mike, welcome back, or welcome to WFO Radio for the first time. How are you?
Great, man. How are you doing?
Good to be here. Very well. Happy to have you. And we are expanding our race winner conversations this year as best as we can to the Pro Mod guys. And what a class. 27 cars tried to qualify in Houston. What is going on here with Pro Mod? So many guys and girls trying to get involved.
Yeah, I think what people really fail to realize is, I mean, this is by far the most popular drag racing class in all of the world. And by world, I mean United States, Australia, Europe. I mean, there's more Pro Modified cars out there than any other class out there. I mean, I know these guys give the fuel cars a lot of love, the Top Fuel and the Nitro cars and, you know, Pro Stock cars. But I mean, you know, these guys are, you know, they're having trouble getting, you know, 16 cars these classes. And, you know, we had almost 28 cars. We would have had 28 the last race. And that's just scratching the surface. I mean, there's no doubt if NHRA opened that up for us, I mean, we could have 40 cars in every race, if not more.
Everyone is very fired up when the Pro Mods come around the corner, just because of obviously the nature and the history. But I also think the fact that you got nitrous oxide guys, supercharger guys, and turbocharger guys all racing together, that does increase the interest level.
Oh, sure. When you have any, you know, three power adders, I mean, it's always you know, definitely pretty neat. And NHRA has done a pretty good job of mandating the rules between, you know, the three power adders. So that's been you know, been tough for them to do, but they've been working on it, and it seems like everybody's pretty close right now.
And it has been a lot of fun to watch so far. Of course, we're going to talk about your win out in Houston, but you've done a fair amount of winning prior to this, obviously winning world championships a couple of times and the U.S. Nationals.
Yeah, we've been at this for a long time now, and, you know, it really means a lot to us to be out there, you know, as much as we can, and that's really what we're striving for. I mean, we're looking for, know, any great partner that really wants to take a ride with us and show you that we have more to offer than just a sick ride a car program. You know, we care about our partners, and we really want to be doing this, you know, at a higher level than what we are right now.
Before we get into your round by round, because I want to talk about that, I want to introduce the audience to something that we spoke about before the interview started, a little pre-interview we did. You guys are in the engine business. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do away from the track. I found it interesting that you've been in biz for 56 years.
Yeah, we've actually been in business for 56 years. My father, Jim, started the business back in 1958. So we started out as an engine business and been going strong ever since. We're currently servicing customers all across the United States, Australia, Europe, Canada. So we've diversified ourselves pretty good on the engine side. We're definitely trying to grow. We're growing actually right now at a rate a little faster than we can handle, which is a good thing, but you know, now it's trying to find the workers to be able to keep up with that work.
So
on the flip side of things, we have the snowmobile business and the four-wheeler business. We sell Articat and Polaris snowmobiles, four-wheelers, and side-by-sides. So we're a dealer for all that stuff. So it's, you know, when one, if one's up, one might be down, you know, so there's always, you know, something to pick each other up.
Very cool. So if any of our listeners are qualified engine guys, should they send you a resume?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Resumes are open. You can come in, push the button, and we, you know, just ask where the tools are. We're looking for you.
that is great. All right, let's get into your day at Baytown, Texas, down there at the Spring Nationals. And qualifying just so tight. Jim Larita, Ricky Smith, you were able to qualify fifth. And when it all started to happen, did you end up fifth? Yes, you did end up fifth. It was a battle out there. It looked like you had a very consistent couple of rounds, though, starting out with first round against Dan Stevenson.
Yeah. What we did, we actually took a little different approach. You know, we ran really well in Gainesville, and, you know, we really had a really good car in Gainesville that had a good shot at winning, and we ended up getting bugged during elimination with some ignition troubles. So we went back to the drawing board, and we actually went to Tulsa Raceway Park before we went to Houston, and we changed, you know, a good five things on the car, which, you know, you just don't do when you're running that good. But we said, you know, we need to be better, and we think we can. So we showed up at Tulsa on Thursday, only car there, and just changed a whole bunch of stuff, and the car responded great. And we were actually, you know, the last rig to pull onto the grounds Friday morning when they let everybody in. So to go out there and, you know, be able to, you know, stick to the plan that we had, you know, after Gainesville was really awesome.
And you are able to get by that round, and sometimes first round is the toughest round for a lot of people out there, and it's certainly the one that has a lot of nerves. Mike Castellana obviously going rounds, and so did Steve Matusik. In the second round, though, you had to go up against the 68 Camaro of Ron Munks. And am I saying that right, Munks?
Yeah, Ron Munks, as far as I know.
Okay, well, he went a 596, you went a 589, and we're pouring on the power.
Yeah, we were pouring on the power, definitely. He was parked next to us, and, you know, I think they were teasing us all weekend. They were cooking some bacon and eggs all weekend and, you know, teasing us with the smell, so we didn't take no chance against them. Really wanted to, you know, show a little of our hand, and, you know, they should have brought some of that food over and might have been a little more friendly.
Ah, there it is. Bacon is always the key to the soul. We have learned that here on WFO Radio over the past several months. And yes, you got to share with your pit mates.
They shared, but it wasn't until, you know, day was over.
There you go. Semi-final round now. You had to go up against Steve Matusik, obviously Aeromotive, and he leaves before the tree was activated. Was there anything that on that run do you think might have motivated him to leave early?
Well, I think the big thing is we've been running, you know, really, really strong, and, you know, I think everybody's taking notice of that, and, you know, not only have we been good on the tree and, you know, good on the track, but, you know, the guys take notice of it, and it's gonna force these guys to make mistakes, and, you know, fortunately, it, you know, makes our life a little easier. But, I mean, there's, you know, when there's 28 cars on the ground, and there's not one bad car there, you know, so that's the, that's what you're up against. You know, it's more competitive than the fuel class, and it's more competitive than pro stock. It's, you know, it's very, very tight out there.
And you had to go up against Mike Castellana in the final round. Mike has obviously been incredibly strong at the start of 2014. We spoke with him on the show a couple of weeks ago, of course, after his win out in, I guess it was in Gainesville. And he had lane choice against you, but red-lighted by 9 thousandths of a second. You were right there, though, with an 018. You went 592.7. That is a strong run, and you were the winner.
Yeah, no, it was a great win. I mean, the big thing is after the semifinals there against Steve, we had come back, and you know, Steve had red lit, so we had shut the car off early. And when I got back, we checked the, you know, just looked at the progressive times, and it was a little off. And so we pulled up the computer and noticed that our boost was down about 7 pounds. You know, we came back and we hurried up and swapped superchargers. And by the time we got done, I realized what I had done when I was going down the track. I had my foot on the throttle all the way down. You know, I knew he red lit, so we're just, you know, I was rolling out on the throttle the whole way down, so there really wasn't a problem. So for that final, we put on a different supercharger that hadn't been on the car all weekend. So to get out there and you know, just roll the dice against Castellano like that and get the win was just awesome for the Jansen Racing Engines, Mike Janus, Superchargers, Camaro.
And you guys, at the end of it all, I always like to ask about the party. When you come through a field of 27 cars, and at the end of the day, you're holding up the Wally. Of course, we know there's going to be a TV show about this at the end of the year on the Velocity Network, and people will be covering and following this and reliving this again. That had to be pretty exciting.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing like being in the winner's circle, and, you know, I mean, runner-up is, you know, to get to that final round is always a big deal, but there's nothing like winning when you get all the fans coming up and shaking your hand in the staging lane, you know, getting your picture taken. It's just, you know, totally surreal.
Now, you're experiencing the elation here and recently and in the past, but you have also been on the downside in these Pro Mod cars as well. Try for our audience to explain what it is like trying to drive one of these machines. Supercharger it is, you guys are all over the racetrack. That's part of the allure. That's what makes it fun. But every once in a while, you can slip over the edge.
Yeah, I mean, by far, these are, you know, hands down the hardest cars to drive from what everyone has said. I mean, Matt Hagan, Nitro Funny Car driver there, used to be a good customer of ours. And he said he'd drive a funny car any day over a Pro Mod. You know, that's how much harder it is to drive a Pro Mod. So it just shows you how much respect you have for one of these things. And, you know, I had an accident back in 2012 at Gainesville there, and that was actually my first ever been racing 40 years, so first ever of anything. That was, you know, a self-induced problem, and, you know, sometimes you just get carried away, but you got to know when to listen.
Isn't that what it's all about? And yet, though, the other guy is in the other lane, and he's trying to get there first. I can imagine that is a tough decision. Fortunately, you did not have to make that one this last race. Mike, I want to thank you for coming on WFO Radio. For our audience out there, for the listeners of the show who maybe want to follow you through the remainder of the year, follow on Facebook, follow on Twitter, your website. What is the best way to follow along with Mike Janus Racing?
You can follow us at www.mikejanusracing.com or just go to Facebook, www.facebook.com/MikeJanusRacing.
Excellent.
So we have a great amount of followers on Facebook, and social media is kicking butt.
What about the Zumi headers, Mike? I noticed that in your machine. That is a cool, different, not brand new, but reasonably new interpretation on the Zumi header. Is that strictly for cool-looking appearance, or is there some sort of function to that you might be able to tell us about?
Yeah, no, it's similar to what the nitrous cars are able to do with, you know, turning the pipes up, and now we're able to turn each tube up, down, back, whichever way we're looking for, you know, force on the car. So it really gives us another little tuning window we're able to use.
See, you guys are thinking of everything, which is very, very
cool. Yeah, we're
cool.
Just, you know, outside the box thinkers, and, you know, we do it on an extremely limited budget and do everything in-house. You know, so I think that's what's so self-gratifying, is to be able to, you know, come out there and, you know, run at the top of these guys and, you know that you did everything yourself.
Well, you certainly did a great job down there in Houston. Where will we see you next?
We're going to be headed to Atlanta next week, May 16th to the 18th, down in Commerce, Georgia for NHRA Southern Nationals.
Well, I will see you there. That is going to be a big weekend. Hopefully we get great weather and can certainly enjoy it. I want to thank you for coming on WFO Radio and sharing your victory with us.
Thank you very much for having us. Really appreciate it.
Mike Janus with us here on WFO Radio. Very, very cool. You can find those photographs of that spill he had a couple of years ago on the web. But maybe it's better to just look forward. This guy hoisting the Wally at the end of the day at the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals in Houston, and he will be in Georgia, as will I, Commerce, Georgia, in just a couple of weeks. And in fact, they had a big event out there just a couple of this past weekend, in fact. The NHRA Divisional event was out there. They did a little back-to-back action and had some really good results. For instance, Jeff Barker, Bo Butner, and Lauren Freer all doubled up at the NHRA Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series Division II doubleheader at Atlanta Dragway. The story coming to you from CompetitionPlus.com. That's kind of cool. They were out there battling it out, the Division Series events. Comp Eliminator, Bo Butner, Super Stock, Jeff Dona, Stock Eliminator, Drew Skillman, Super Comp, Ryan Richardson, Super Gas, Ray Miller, Super Street, Ronnie Maggart, Top Dragster, Lauren Freer, Top Sportsman, Jeff Barker, that 06 Cobalt. 10 flat index was Travis Bryant. 11 flat index was Tom Crinner. And the 12 flat index was Michael Smith. Very cool. And then a second race was won by David Rampe. Super Stock, Peter Biondo. Stock Eliminator, Bo Butner. That's the double up. Super Comp, Edmund Richardson, Scotty's brother. Super Gas, Lauren Freer, the double up. Super Street, Mike Griggs. Top Dragster, Jeff Strickland. Top Sportsman, Jeff Barker. And the index classes were won by Chris Runnels, Wade Bryant, and Don Norris. And there are your results from the Division II Lucas Oil Series event. How about that? That's kind of a cool deal. Now, I did mention I was going to talk about some other things on the tail end of the show here, like we always do. This is where I drop in some stuff. This was and may be a part of the next Joe Costello column on WFOradio.com, because honestly speaking, it was maybe one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life, and that was going to Parris Island, South Carolina, to witness the making of Marines. It is no secret that, obviously, my father taught me drag racing, but my father was taught by the United States Marine Corps. And as a drill instructor, he gets invited to go to a reunion every year. But this was the first year that we went. We drove up, and all I can tell you is, our nation is in good hands. We were welcomed. We were treated exceptionally well. We got total access to the base, including the drill instructor's school. I got to see my father's photograph on the wall from being in a graduating class from 1965. Saw some of his old friends. Met the general in charge of the base. It was great. And all I can say is that I've never seen so many photos, posters, and images of Chesty Puller in my life. And I loved it. What a great experience. We met a WFO radio listener along the way. And prior to that, the night before we left for Parris Island, I went to see the boss, Bruce Springsteen. Was that the night before? I think it was two nights before. The boss was on Tuesday, right here as WFO radio was ending. As you guys were hearing the conclusion of WFO radio, I was taking my seats to see the boss. And everybody knows that Louis Bloom is a hardcore Bruce Springsteen guy. There are many. There are many, many hardcore Bruce Springsteen guys that follow him and travel with him and see him in far off distant lands. Pat Riley from the Miami Heat is a big Bruce Springsteen guy. I had never seen the boss. I know, with parents from Jersey, how do you never see the boss? Just didn't happen. Just didn't happen. Sometimes things don't happen, whether it be scheduling or financial or something else is going on. This was my first experience seeing Bruce Springsteen. I loved it. It was great. Not just good, but great. And all I can say is, if you have never seen the boss and you feel like, well, he's older now and it's not going to be as good and it's not going to be as cool and I missed it when I was younger and what's the point? You got to go. The guy was great. Totally brought it, 110%. And played a lot of stuff that, covers, other, he was just doing his artsy thing, but he played the hits too, and it was great. What a great experience. And then I get back from Parris Island and head immediately to my local Parimutuel to bet the Derby, and I nail it on California Chrome. So it has been a fantastic couple of days for me. We're going to keep that momentum going just through the rest of the year, because I am highly motivated and feeling great about a lot of different things that are going on in the world of WFO radio. So that's the talking version of the next WFO column. That will also include extra details. Now, before we get out of here, I mentioned about the whole WFO sticker program. And I want you all to feel comfortable with this and understand what we're doing here, because we have a ton of WFO icon stickers that we want to send out to whoever wants them. All we ask is that you send a self-addressed stamp envelope. Why? Well, you can imagine with the thousands and thousands of WFO radio listeners, if we sent everybody a letter with the cost of stamps these days, it would be a bit pricey. But it's also about the time to write the letter and to do all of this stuff. So if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to WFO Stickers at P.O. Box 848353, Pembroke Pines, Florida 33084, we will turn them around and send them back to you rapidly, like our listener Dale. I didn't tell the full story because it was just so shocking. I'm 5 hours north of where I live, passing through randomly, and to have a WFO listener flag me down and talk to me on the highway, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. The only thing that would have made it better, and Dale, if you're out there, do not take this personally, but if Dale was a beautiful, attractive woman that was just a super fan, that could have made the story a little better for the telling on the retelling on the radio. But other than that, it couldn't have been better than that. So, Dale, thanks for saying hi. I have no idea how long he followed along the highway till we got off the highway. And it could have been a mile. It could have been a minute. It could have been 10 miles. I don't really even know that to this point. But he sent in an email question, which was greatly appreciated, handed him some stickers. And I thought it was a very cool experience. The word of the WFO radio is getting out there amongst drag racing fans. That is the goal. That is what we want to do. We want you to know that on Monday afternoon when you're thinking, oh boy, Monday, you can think to yourself, well, WFO is tomorrow and WFO is on Wednesday, and that'll get me really close to Friday and maybe even to 5 p.m. We're going to try to gobble up a couple of hours of your work week, whether you're over the road, maybe you're an over the road trucker, you're out there cruising around the highways and byways, bringing us our paper towels and paper plates and toilet paper and everything that we get in the grocery store arrives via truck. Maybe that's you. We appreciate you. Maybe you're getting ready for the next NHRA race. Maybe you hate Joe Costello like poison, but you listen to the driver's interviews because they give good information. That's fine, too. Send your questions for Alan Reinhart, joe@wforadio.com, or call them in 954-889-6796. Also use the Skype to Skype feature. If you have Skype out there, let us know how it works. Download the new WFO Radio app, and that's going to do it. Next week, we'll be getting ready for Atlanta, the ATL, the Dirty South. How many different Atlanta things can I come up with? We'll see next week. But a big thanks to Big Daddy Don Garlis. The enthusiasm in his voice was awesome. And for, I can only hope that when I'm 82, I feel that level of enthusiasm. Obviously, he just went through some things personally. And to be able to channel that energy into this electric dragster, I think is great. And I am excited about it. And I want to see what's possible. 200, will it be 200, will it be 220, will it be 240, will it be 250? How quick can these things go? I'm interested. And I will be keeping an eye out. Big thanks to Hector Arana Jr. and, of course, Mike Janis, Alan Reinhart, and all you folks that log on each week and listen to the show, those of you who sent your questions, thank you very much for helping us bring the sport of drag racing to new listeners and new people out there. And if you found the show for the very first time and you made it to this point, well, big thank you to you as well. Hopefully you will alert your friends and we'll continue to grow the audience. And remember, Bristol Dragway. There is one that I will be at. Get your tickets to Bristol Dragway. Listen to those commercials. Log on, buy your tickets. Father's Day weekend, I will be there. And it will be a great time. That's going to do it. Again, thanks to Big Daddy. Thanks to Alan Reinhart. Thanks to Hector Jr. Thanks to Mike Janis. We'll see you next week here on Nitro. We'll see you later in the week on WFO Ignition, where we'll be talking Talladega. It's a different kind of show. All I can say. See you next time, right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.